welcome back. It's Tuesday. There is a hell of a lot going on. I just don't even know where to begin, to be perfectly frank. But we'll start. And this first hour, I kind of want to make up for last night's AI update. I was not happy with it at all. I ran 5 videos, wasn't able to check them all out. 4.5 of them were just boring. Anyway, I was disappointed. One of them had a gentleman on who, by all rights, should have been fascinating, but he wasn't. Anyway, those things happen once in a while. It's called a turkey. So tonight, we're going to do something better. And I want to start by mentioning a video we're going to play a little bit later. It's about, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes of Mo Gawdat, G-A-W-D-A-T. I think you remember, former exec, big time. He's warning people to get prepared now. Really, seriously, get prepared now. And I know a lot of you can't afford to get prepared like you'd like to. I fully understand that. Believe me, I have not been able to do the things I would like to do when I would have liked to have done them in the past. I've fortunately gotten caught up, oh, for the most part, so okay. But what Mo is saying is that there is going to be a massive, capital M, how about two M's, massive shift in the jobs market. He's right. We've covered that many times. It's going to be worse than I think we've been able to properly cover it to this point. The more people understand the punch and devastation of AI replacement, the more they figure out that there are going to be a lot of people who have no work, no hope, and nothing to look forward to except trying to survive. That's coming up. First up, I want to talk about the quality of home building in the U.S. Now, that said, Vanessa Wingard has another video out. She says, her title, they are building, pun, the housing crisis. She's right. The quality of construction is crap in many cases. And in many cases, contractors are gouging the heck out of people. Because why? Because they can. It's not so much that their product, their supplies, the other inventory is going up in price. It's that they're just, it's like there's a, what do you call it when a, it's called a, we used to call it a pile on. Somebody's down and somebody jumps on them. Then everybody jumps on them and beats the heck out of them. That's, you know, not deadly beating, but just thrashes them. There's a pile on underway in terms of the consumer in this country. I know you understand about grocery prices. It is my humble opinion that many, many food manufacturers are jerking up their prices because everyone else is. There's no justification for it in every case. It's not possible. Their cost of product is just not going up that much. Now, before some of you think, well, they're talking about the oil shortage. No, they aren't. This goes back a year, year and a half when this thing really got out of hand. They're gouging. We are being gouged by our own people. It's called greed. And it's probably one of the biggest human shortcomings of all. All right, we're going to play the Vanessa Wingard video now. And it starts out with a black guy sitting in a car doing his thing. He's doing a commentary. And he says, do not buy new construction. And he's right. And by the way, when I look at this, I just had a thought. We used to have a fabulous individual on. His name was Joe, and he used to do commentaries. He was the first one to do commentaries in his car while driving, while parked. And we used to talk, and I said, Joe, you've struck a gold mine here. Stay in the car. Don't do it from home. Be in the car. And he said, you think? Yes, I did. Anyway, he put out a whole lot of really wonderful commentaries all done in the car, and then everybody else, monkey see, monkey do. So they followed along. But whatever. Okay, if you're comfortable and it works for you, great. Anyway, I just wanted to honor Joe, who's passed on now, but you can find him in Legends on the left-hand side of the homepage if you scroll down to the bottom. You've got a little section there with a number of his commentaries there. He's a good man. Okay, here's Vanessa's video, starting out with this fellow in his car, obviously a builder of sorts, and he's warning you, do not buy new construction.
Do not buy new construction. I repeat, do not.
This is how they're building your new builds.
There's a picture of a garage door, automatic garage door opening, fails completely, and the opener almost falls off the ceiling.
It's exactly how I wanted it.
I said, that was a door. Somebody's trying to open an interior door in a home, and it wouldn't open. It ran into a cabinet. It wasn't even lined up properly. Here's another one.
Hopefully this pressure is good.
Somebody built a house. We've all seen power poles that have, I think they call them guy wires, not guide wires, but guy wires, that go down to the ground at a 45-degree angle coming off near the top of the pole to hold them up. Well, here's a brand new home, finished, complete, and they've laid a concrete driveway in front of the garage, and right in the middle of the concrete driveway is the end of a guy wire into the ground, anchoring the most adjacent and nearby utility pole. Tall pole, right there in the middle of the driveway. This is astounding. Now, this part, there's somebody's testing a faucet, and he says something to the effect that I hope these people are happy with this flow of water, which is a trickle. He said, because that's all they're going to get. And, yeah, it's bad. Everywhere you look, it's bad.
Hopefully this pressure is good enough because this is block and this is all they're going to get.
So we're using plastic or something to support the water heater fluid.
I mean, the city inspected it. You know what I mean? Like, they did a great job. Don't worry about a home inspection on brand new construction, you know?
So the city came out and inspected and finaled a brand new dwelling. And the roof, where it runs up to a vertical part of the structure, lower part of the roof section, is just a joke. Split tile. There's a typical composition. It's a comp roof. The tiles, well, they're not tiles, but the shingles, they're all cracked. They're broken. They're just not there in some cases. And the city wrote it off. Can you spell graft, corruption, bribery? I think you can. It's just the American ethics and pride of work is all but gone. There are exceptions, but you better get real serious about looking into who you hire or what product you buy in the housing market and do some very serious research.
This is a new construction home. The buyers have already closed, and they've been told all of this has been fixed. They paid $600,000 for this house. The builder is D.R. Horton. They've been the number one home builder in America since 2002. Now, they may be number one, but that's number one by volume, definitely not number one by quality.
I've been excited to receive this for a
while. Okay. Hold on one second. And here we go.
In a D.R. Horton new build home. From the beginning, we've always had problems with the garage door. Now it's completely broken. I can't even move it because if I do, it'll fall apart. My floors, it's not even real wood. There's bubbles. Do you see the bubbles? Like, it's just awful, you guys. And it's not even a cheap home.
You definitely want to get your inspected before they foam it up like this, because guess what? You ain't going to be able to see nothing now.
D.R. Horton is the name of this volume home building corporation company. And the flooring, it's a synthetic wood, and it's all bubbled up. There's bubbles everywhere in it. It's just crap. Under the actual floor of the house is sprayed on foam insulation. Parts aren't even covered with it. It's a joke. Can you imagine? And I know all of you have seen a house being built. And what will you come to see at some point? You'll see them after they've got the actual frame built, often with 2x4s, not even 2x6s. I call them stick houses. They'll wrap the house with plastic. Tyvek is one of the big ones. You do not want to live in a house that's been wrapped in plastic. Why? Because the Tyvek works. It keeps all of the chemicals that are being off-gassed and otherwise introduced into the interior of the home inside the home. And you breathe it. And it can kill you. It can, over time, kill you. You've all walked into a new home and you've smelled things you didn't. Man, that's got that new smell. Well, that's the smell of composite adhesives, all kinds of glue, chemicals that are off-gassing from products that have been used. Say you get a really low-life, low-class floor. Well, that floor is going to be off-gassing. It doesn't have to be carpeting. That's a whole nother story, carpeting. Yeah, you talk about off-gassing there, you bet. These fibers are giving up all kinds of material, and much of it has been actually added to the carpeting under some kind of construction code or safety angle that they're trying to pitch. Well, the carpet's safe. It won't burn so quickly. Yeah, well, your lungs are going to burn and your body will burn from the actual fumes you're inhaling. All right, back to the video.
They will see nothing but that gap. The gaps they leave, that they don't fold. Yeah, I'd say that's a good indicator of how this is going to look.
I'm on another D.R. Horton inspection, 11-month builder warranty inspection, and I'm in the attic, and the gas smell is terrible. Look at this.
Don't you hate it when you...
All right, that's an inspector up in the attic of a D.R. Horton home, and he has a meter, and that little whine you heard was the meter detecting gas leak in the attic. It was whining up to the top.
To do your inspection, and the entire neighborhood burns down?
Check this out. The furnace is leaking water. Can you see that?
I don't know.
If the furnace is leaking water, no joke, somebody closed the door, pulled on the door, and the door came right out of its framing. It wouldn't even latch properly. All right, here we go. This is bad. I've built over the years 4 homes, one in Santa Barbara, one in Las Vegas, one in Reno, and then the one in Oregon. And I overdo everything in terms of safety, quality, and I think as an individual homeowner builder, that's about the only way you're ever going to get things done right, and that's to oversee it yourself. I've seen terrible contractors. In fact, the one I used in Las Vegas until I fired him looked like some kind of a gangster. And he was obviously taking the money and doing things with it that had nothing to do with constructing the home. Anyway, I had to get rid of him. But if you don't watch out, you're going to be buying something for $600,000, $800,000, maybe more, that's just a pile of nice-looking kindling wood. That's about it.
I don't know if you can see. Those are orangey kind of spores and just mold and water damage in our garage. And this is the drywall that was removed from that section. That doesn't look too healthy, does it?
The poor woman has her home, it's new, is already consumed with black mold. They ripped off a panel of drywall, 4 feet by 8 feet. The entire inside of it crawling with varying colors of mold and mildew from water leaks and moisture. Unbelievable.
The many reasons I cannot stand my D.R. Horton home is about to fall off too.
One in every seven new homes built in the U.S. comes from D.R. Horton, ranging from starter homes to luxury. They operate in 37 states and pulled in $34 billion in revenue in 2025 alone. So when I say they are everywhere, they are everywhere.
Let's see what just over $2 million can get you for a new construction home here in Kirkland, Washington.
Okay, Kirkland, Washington. A D.R. Horton, I'm guessing, home. $2 million, and it must be at least 10 feet from the house next to it. Unbelievable.
This type of home plants the seed that will bloom into memories to come. And just off the...
Okay, this is a little walkthrough video of how beautiful the home is, or supposedly is, and this is the pitch, the sales pitch.
Primary bedroom awaits a spa-like bathroom.
$2 million for this. It looks like a tiny home, and they're calling this a backyard. I don't know what you would even do with this strip of yard. And look.
On the side of the house is a long, thin rectangle running the length of the house from the front to the back. It is honestly maybe 6 feet wide from stepping out of the house into this side yard. Wow.
Power lines in the back. I guess that comes standard in million-dollar homes. For over $2 million, you can wake up every morning, look out your window, and wave directly to your neighbor. He's right about one thing. D.R. Horton homes definitely create memories, just not happy ones. If this is their luxury line, imagine their starter homes. The national average to build a new single-family home is 9.1 months. D.R. Horton does it in as little as 2 months. They are slapping these things together like a Big Mac from McDonald's. They are quite literally the fast food of home building. Now, I'm not a structural engineer. I'm a software engineer. But I don't think anyone needs an engineering degree to look at this and know something is very wrong.
The siding on the house is particle board. We used to call it crap board. It's just awful stuff. And there's another primary emitter of toxicity. There's formaldehyde in there.
Look, D.R. Horton is building their next house.
Hold on. They use pressure and glues to actually make these 4x8 sheets of particle board. It's either little tiny particles or larger pieces. Just, it's crap board. And they off-gas, I don't know how long, years maybe? Long time. And all of that off-gassing, remember, stays inside the house because of the plastic wrapping they put around it to keep you warm. No, in the old days, houses all breathed. Air could move in and out through cracks, and this is general construction, allowed a home to breathe. Now, it's strangling on these plastic sheet coverings that allow no exchange of air from inside to out. This is a fact. Okay, let's go back.
Next house. It's about the same quality. Good job, D.R. Horton. All you got to do is give it a little tap, no! Tap, tap-a-roo. There we go.
D.R. Horton receives a lot of backlash on social media, and they addressed this in their SEC filing. Negative publicity can be disseminated rapidly through digital platforms. Customers often act on such information without further investigation and without regard to its accuracy. Without regard to its accuracy. Are they really telling us not to believe what we see with our own eyes? If these homeowners were showing perfectly built homes, no one would care. And they don't just acknowledge the social media backlash. They also acknowledge the quality, or lack thereof. Our subcontractors occasionally do not meet adequate quality standards in the construction of our homes. In my opinion, this is D.R. Horton recognizing poor quality, yet they continue to hire cheap subcontractors. This is a company that compensated their CEO over $25 million last year. If they wanted quality subcontractors, they could afford it.
Water rushing down in through our yard, under our house, from the construction next door because they did something to channel the water flow out onto the street. And now it's coming into our yard.
This is what happens when D.R. Horton moves in next door.
There are numerous homeowners complaining about the quality of the paint, and then I stumbled across this comment. I contacted them about the paint getting dirty and if they could help with that. The lady told us that the walls are just primer and that they purposefully do that to leave it paint ready and that our sales rep should have told us that. Remember, these homes are not cheap. They're selling multi-million dollar homes, and they now account for one in every seven new homes built.
It's really a stunning figure. This company with such an horrific reputation is cranking out one in seven homes. You wonder if there just might be a linkage between D.R. Horton and BlackRock. Think about it.
So inevitably, when repairs need to be made, we get to see what the builders leave behind. Water bottles, Coke cans, beer bottles, stuffed inside the walls of someone's brand new home.
That's where the workers put their trash, right in the framed walls. And then they just frame right over them. Drywall, whatever. Insulation, they can push insulation bats in there and cover up the Coke cans, the beer bottles, etc.
It's workers who
not good. The plumbing leaks. Just saw another image of a garage completely flooded. So is that the fault of D.R. Horton corporate? Ultimately, yeah. The individual plumbing contractor, if he or she even actually was a legitimate plumbing contractor. Remember, a lot of these laborers they're invaders. They're third and fourth world invaders, and they just take their money, do a crap job, have no training for it, and then walk. But putting trash in the walls, isn't that cute?
Workers who take pride in their craft, but then again, why would they? They're paid as little as possible to build as fast as possible, and apparently they cope by drinking on the job. Now, you might be watching this and thinking, well, that's what the warranty is for. And you would think so, because one of D.R. Horton's biggest selling points is their 10-year warranty. So let's actually read it. The first thing you will notice, the majority of their coverage falls under the one-year section. Yet, the one-year coverage isn't what they advertise on social media. There are 12 pages for the one-year coverage section, and for the 10-year portion, there's only this one single entry. Now, their warranty is worded in a way where it makes it sound as if the home buyer is protected until you read the additional comments. Under the one-year roofing section, it reads, "Builder will correct active and current leaks that occur under normal conditions." That sounds reasonable. Let's look at the comment column. "No action required if leak is due to snow or ice buildup, high winds, or driving rains." Snow, ice, driving rains. What exactly would cause a roof to leak other than rain? Sunshine? They've essentially written a clause that says, they'll fix your roof, unless it's caused by weather, which is the only thing that could cause the roof to leak.
She's exactly right. These things are worded so treacherously. Even if you actually, as an individual home investor, have the time to go through these things carefully, you won't really get the import of the words, the verbiage. It's all trickery. She's correct. Everything she said is correct. All the way.
the tenure portion, it somehow gets even worse. They claim major structural defects are covered only if it meets all three of their requirements. Requirement one, the damage has to be to a specific load-bearing component. That component has to have actually failed, and that failure is threatening the physical safety of the people living there.
You get it? Unless the house actually fails, they're not going to cover anything. Oh, this is really treachery. This is awful, just awful. And it's common. And you wonder why BlackRock is buying up so much. I suspect this is a BlackRock or one of the other corporations at work. They'll found a D.R. Horton-like company. They certainly could. They could go then and buy up all the crap through all kinds of financial manipulations and trickery and treachery. And these houses will be garbage. So you're going to end up being rentals at best. And they'll be rented out in a second. No matter how much they leak, how much they are deficient, it doesn't matter because people need shelter.
Component that has already failed and is threatening your physical safety. In other words, basically the house has to be falling down around you before they're obligated to do anything. This entire neighborhood is being told their roof isn't covered. The caption reads, "Winds in Texas caused this today. These are three-year-old houses. Would not recommend D.R. Horton to anyone. The whole neighborhood is this way."
This is what I'm talking about, how amazing D.R. Horton homes are. Like, holy shit. They say that's an act of God. Nah. I think it's bullshit. I think...
What he's talking about, he's looking at a house. He's parked out in front of it. He looks over at the roof. The comp roof with its so-called comp shingles is about half gone, just blown away. Obviously, it wasn't tacked down properly. This is mind-boggling.
Complete laziness.
An act of God. What a perfect excuse, because who could predict such an act? And what, you expect them to dip into the millions their CEO is making to fix the roofs? How would he then afford his fourth vacation house? And then you have people claiming that D.R. Horton is ignoring warranty phone calls. In my opinion, they're just waiting for that one-year coverage to expire.
I have had so many issues with the home, like things that never should have been an issue, that they did wrong from the beginning, and they don't want to fix their mess. They will not respond to you. It takes months and months of reaching out for someone to even respond to a text message, an email, a phone call, anything. Not just me that has had these problems. I've talked to other people in the neighborhood, my neighbors. They have had these same issues. I don't understand how this passed inspection. I don't know why the number one builder in America, because they suck.
So it will probably come as no surprise that they're in multiple class action lawsuits, not only for the bad build quality, but also for allegedly misleading people. In Alabama, Louisiana, South Carolina, and Florida, homeowners are suing because they were sold homes marketed as gold fortified, meaning they could withstand a Category 3 hurricane, but these homes did not survive.
They say the septic system in their home and in every house backed up, needing a full septic overhaul within months of moving in. Mulway's roof has buckled three times, the first time only 2 months after they moved in, and damaged the inside of their home, coming with a whopping $17,000 price tag. A 166-page inspection report from Knowles noted problems in virtually every single part of the home.
And those are the parts of the home you can see. What you can't see is going to be just as bad. It's obvious the subs working on these homes are not trained. They're not certified. They're just laborers. That's all they are. And they're said, all right, you know, get your nail gun and nail this off. That's all they do. For the one street that they showed briefly, all the septic, each one of the homes on this street apparently has its own septic system. Figure that one out. No sewer, just septic. And they all failed. Almost immediately, to overhaul an entire septic system, probably in many cases, is going to require them to rebuild it, but this time, they'll probably build it properly. It's easy to cheat on a septic system. That's not hard.
the laundry list of problems found by Knowles, a Berkeley County inspector approved the home 1 year earlier, just 1 month before Preston moved in.
D.R. Horton has their own in-house mortgage company called DHI Mortgage. This is how they're able to offer incentives like $6,000 toward closing costs, fixed interest rates, and low down payments. For a lot of first-time home buyers, these incentives is what makes D.R. Horton homes affordable. And that's exactly the point, because allegedly there's a lot they're not telling these buyers. According to this lawsuit, DHI Mortgage shows buyers a monthly payment based on the property tax assessment of the land before the house is built. When the land is raw, the tax estimate is very cheap. Therefore, the monthly mortgage payments they showed buyers weren't accurate because they left out the property tax estimates. Estimates they are legally obligated to include. So if...
I just checked it out. DHI Mortgage Company Limited is 100% owned by D.R. Horton, Inc., the largest home builder in the United States. As a subsidiary, DHI Mortgage functions as the in-house mortgage lender for D.R. Horton, providing financing services primarily for their new home sales. And D.R. Horton, by the way, is on the New York Stock Exchange. I'm trying to see if I can trace this any higher. D.R. Horton is publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange. D.R. Horton was founded in 1978 by Donald R. Horton, while Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway holds a significant stake in the parent company, D.R. Horton. DHI Mortgage is directly controlled by D.R. Horton, Inc. The money they're making is filthy dirty.
The house looked far more affordable than it actually was. After closing, D.R. Horton sells the mortgage loan to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. This triggers a new assessment of the property, which now has a house on it.
Exactly. I knew this is where it was going to end up. When you first buy a house, be careful. They're going to give you an assessed valuation, often just the raw land. They won't tell you it's going to have to be reassessed. And they also won't tell you that DHI Mortgage will just sell their mortgage off as a security to some other corporation, and you will have no recourse with D.R. Horton. They won't even hold the mortgage. DHI is out of the picture. What a rotten scam. No wonder this country's falling apart.
Taxes go up significantly. In one case, within months of closing, a homeowner's monthly payment went from $1,000 to over $3,000 per month. Corporations today are becoming vertically integrated, meaning it used to be a separate company for various services. They've bought all of the services and now control all of it. D.R. Horton builds the homes, but they also own the title company, the insurance, and the mortgage company. They also own majority share in Forestar, which buys and develops the land that the houses are built on. And then they bought Vidler Waters, so they own the water rights to the land that the houses sit on. They don't just build the homes, they have this entire ecosystem that only they control. And increasingly, the rental market is part of it. Because on top of everything else, D.R. Horton builds apartment complexes and has been quietly building entire subdivisions designed exclusively as rentals. Subdivisions filled with houses that can never be bought. They're building rental communities, making it harder for people to ever save up enough money to become first-time home buyers.
That's the plan. And you've heard about that before on this program. Entire new subdivisions bought as rental subdivisions by some corporation or other, or sold off by the original builder developer. This is a filthy issue. And is our government looking into this to protect us? Remember, of, by, and for the people? Does Donald Trump care about any of this? No, not a bit, because they're all in it together.
On top of the fact that their houses are deteriorating months after purchase, houses that were supposed to be addressing the housing shortage, and yet they have the audacity to claim that they're helping first-time home buyers.
If you're buying a house, do not let the builder do the inspection. I don't care how nice they seem, how well-intentioned they seem. They are completely biased against actually providing an unbiased inspection. I have a client this week who purchased a house, very large, nearly 4,000 square feet. This thing was not cheap. A builder did their inspection, did not give them the opportunity, or at least informed them they were unaware that they needed to get a separate inspection. And this house is missing just about every bit of insulation, both in the ceiling and in the walls. Means her air conditioner has been working triple time since they put that thing in. They've got moisture problems everywhere. They've got mold problems everywhere. They've got kids that are sick. And all of this came down to one thing. They didn't get their own inspection done.
Wow, words to the wise and then some. All right, I'll put that video up later. It's called They're Building the Housing Crisis. And they are. This is unspeakable what's going on here. Sick families, sick children. Off-gassing, molds, fungus, fungi. It's getting worse. And as bad as these houses actually, they disintegrate from day one. They just start going downhill. And within the first year, significant things are going to happen. And what he just said, though, virtually no insulation was found anywhere of substance in these homes. So what is that going to do to your electric bill? That's why people have $1,000, $2,000 a month electric bills, trying to keep essentially a non-insulated home warm and livable. Wow. Okay, there you go. I will post that again and take another look at it. It's really nauseating. It's worse than that. This is as criminal as it gets. All right. Now, we're going to jump over to ex-Google exec Mo Gawdat, G-A-W-D-A-T, and let's listen to what Mo says about positioning yourself, preparing for the next AI phase.
My AI startup took me 6 weeks to build. I had started in 2022. It would have taken me 4 years. And when you really think about that, that basically means everyone now has a chance.
This is Mo, former chief business officer at Google X, where he spent over a decade running business innovations. He says everyone now has a chance, but only if they understand what's actually coming.
The skill of
everyone has a chance. Everyone has a chance. All right. Let's see what Mo is really talking about here.
Prepared.
How much time do we have to prepare?
Within the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to see a massive shift in the jobs market. So you asked me, what should we do? Number one, learn the skills. Number two.
Mo, thank you so much for doing this. Welcome to Silicon Valley Girl.
Thank you.
You said something that we're about to enter what you call 12 to 15 years of hell before heaven, possibly starting in 2027. So what's going to happen in 2027?
I think it will peak in 2027. It already started for sure. I call it FACE RIPs, just as an acronym for people to remember.
He said FACE, F-A-S-F-A-C-E, R-I-P, rest in peace. FACE RIPs, that's what he said.
You know, each of those letters is a word, but let me tell the story quickly in ways that people will understand. There is the power and freedom dimension, so the P and the F. There is the R and the C, the reality and connection dimension. There is the I and the C, the innovation and connection, and economics dimension, and then there is the A. So let me tell them very quickly. To start with, AI is our last innovation, right? Most people don't know that, but we are already building AIs that are building AIs.
Yeah.
We're building AIs that are discovering scientific discovery that will blow you away.
Okay. AIs are now building AIs that are making scientific discoveries that Mo said would just blow you away. He's right. We're not being told what they're up to, how advanced their AI construction is. We'll just call it construction. They will never tell us. Secrets. Corporate secrets.
They're reinventing math. They are understanding biology in ways that we've never seen before. They're understanding material science in ways that are just mind-blowing. And so very quickly, most innovation, definitely tech innovation, will be done at the hands of AI. Because of that, and because most tasks that need intelligence will be handed over to the machines, as the machines' capabilities increase, lots of debate around when exactly, say it's 10 years, say it's 2 years, doesn't really matter. Eventually, every job that AI does better than humans will be handed over to AI. And every task we've ever assigned to them, they eventually ended up doing better than humans. And so the first part of the dystopia is that innovation is going to take away all jobs. Okay. Of course, the capitalists of Silicon Valley will tell you this is great. It's incredible productivity gains for everyone. You see, jobs will be easy. People won't have to work as hard. All of the fancy PR-led, conversations that we try to appear altruistic when we share them. The truth is, people will be out of jobs, right? 10, 20, 30% of certain sectors will see unemployment of that rate in the next few years, right? And when that happens, economics at large will change massively. The whole definition of capitalism was labor arbitrage. And without labor, without the need for labor, the obligation or the need to keep people happy and engaged and alive and disgruntled, if you want, to the point where they don't rise, becomes more of an obligation than a desire.
Okay, that's an interesting statement. So we'll call it entertainment. The entertainment of the masses becomes an obligation of the AI industry, the software industry in general, because the people will be left high and dry. No work. You're going to see universal basic income. You'll have to. Otherwise, you're going to see tens of millions on the streets. I don't think the government will allow that because it'll make the government look accountable and bad.
Right. There's a very big difference in terms of wanting someone to be their best because they are productive members of society.
You think the government wants people to be their best, really? You think any of these people in it for the money want people to achieve their best and be their best? I think you should consider that carefully.
Or trying to just give them a UBI, a universal basic income, to just give them a life so that they don't uprise. And you can imagine that in a...
Bread and circuses. UBI and bread and circuses. That's what's coming. You know what Trump is doing on the 250th anniversary, do you? At the White House, on the South Lawn, he and Dana White are holding a UFC cage fight on the South Lawn to celebrate the 250th anniversary of these formerly United States of America. What are they doing? That's ancient Rome. That's Caligula. That's the Colosseum. That's where we are now. We're falling way down into the hole, and we're never going to get out as a species, as a culture, as a society. I hate to say it, but it's over. It's different. It will never return to what it once was.
That a society, especially like the U.S. and most of the West, you know, while we start with UBI, that UBI is going to be paid by the taxes of the platform owners, and the platform owners will have enough power to say, I don't want to pay that much. I mean, those guys are not producing anything. And so over time, you can imagine how that would turn into a struggle. Right. So that dimension of intelligence and innovation on one side becoming entirely a machine thing, leading to a redefinition of economics, a redefinition of money, a redefinition of jobs, a redefinition of earnings, a redefinition of capitalism. Mm-hmm. You know, the need for a new economic theory when there is no demand for the supply that AI is generating, all of that has to be rethought. There is the PF dimension, the power freedom dimension. And it's, of course, very clearly understood that if you look at human history, the best hunter in a tribe would have been able to feed the tribe a week more, let's say, and then, you know, got, as a result of that, the favor of a few mates in the tribe. You go to the best farmer, they got estates and land because they could feed the tribe a season more. You go to the best industrialist, who they had the exuberance of the 1920s because they could affect their entire nation. The information technology tycoons, the tech oligarchs, if you want to call them, are now being rewarded with billions of dollars because they affect the world at large. And, you know, the big power concentration of AI is going to be rewarded with massive influence and massive power because those people will redefine humanity. And so that dimension...
Most of those people, Sammy the Altman, Marky Zuckerberg, tens, hundreds of billions of dollars. They'll end up being trillionaires. Sammy is a real creep. If you've looked into his background, I've got a story up there now. Somebody really did a deep dive in his background. It's pretty grim. Anyway, these are not the people that they would like us to think they are at all. Okay, Mo, carry on.
AI is going to be rewarded with massive influence and massive power because those people will redefine humanity. And so that dimension is quite interesting. Of course, the clear dimension is the RC dimension is the reality to connection dimension. Now that reality has become so fake in so many ways, fake in terms of what populates your feed, how it's generated, how much of it is real, how much of it is human, and so on. You know, you're here.
He's talking about feed, your screen time, your terminal addiction feed, what you're seeing and hearing on the screen. That's what he's alluding to.
To look at some filmmakers that use AI from A to Z to
and
create.
It's crazy, and you can't sometimes you forget tell it's the difference. AI generated.
You cannot
it's
tell the difference. And you know, I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but I met a woman once on a dating app, and we spoke for 6 weeks before we met, and all we exchanged was texts and photos and voice messages and videos and so on, and favorite music and favorite movies and all of those things, and I've never met her in person, and I felt such an affinity to her, right? All of those can be generated with AI today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the challenge is that this human connection is also part of the power freedom dimension. Why? Because it's, people don't align with AIs to start an uprising. So, maybe get them to get in touch more with AIs, maybe get them to get, multiple experiences. Some of them are a little taboo, if you want, and have those available to everyone. It's very cheap to create those on the machines. And you can see it already in the porn industry and how much of porn is being generated by AI. And you can see it in the number of influencers on social media that are completely AI generated and so on. And I say, so this is face RIP's seven dimensions. The one that matters most is the second one, which is not on any dimension. It's the one that's causing all of them, which is accountability. And the reason why all of this is happening, if you ask me, is because we've started a world where anyone can do whatever they want. Okay. And, whether you as an influencer, you can give a bit of advice to entrepreneurs that can get someone to make a lot of money or lose a lot of money, you're not accountable. Nobody can come back to you and say, oh, but she told me on Instagram. Right. So that's actually amazing that they can.
That's responsibility, right?
That's amazing that they can. Huh? Mm-hmm. But what if they cannot anymore? What if
if I'm AI, right?
What if you're AI? Mm-hmm. What if you're a president who doesn't respect anything? What if you're a prime minister of a nation that is changing things without, I think COVID was the very first experiment of, okay, stay at home, do what we tell you. And people complied. And so now Sam Altman, with all due respect, I don't think of Sam Altman as a person. I think of him as a brand, a type of person, if you want, right? And that type of person is the Californian disruptor that says, you know what? I see a future that's very different than what everyone sees. I'm going to go out there and make that future. Nobody asked me if I want that to be my future.
Well, Mo is right. Sam is a little different. He's married to a man. They've adopted a baby. And you can fill in the blanks from there. Yes, Mo, Sammy, the alt man, is not one of us. Even though he'd like us to think that way. Okay, there's another good video. I'm going to pick this up on another night. That's, we're only into it about 9 minutes. It's a 40-minute video. So Sam is on a roll here in terms of being described as sort of normal by Mo. We'll see if that keeps up next time. Be right back with Hour 2 for you in just a few minutes.